Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. In the first chapter of Proverbs, Solomon writes that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's meaningful that in his old age, he wraps up the book of Ecclesiastes with the same motto. This is the conclusion of the matter: fear God and keep his commandments. Today's message, titled The Last Word, is the final message in our series on Ecclesiastes, titled Living a Good Life, Making Sense of the Journey. Let's listen in as Rich unpacks Solomon's final thoughts for us. This is the second part of the message, originally preached on August 12, 2018, at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You can hear the entire series at www.delightingrace.com.
That's what they think of when they think of the book of Ecclesiastes. When I told people I was going to be reading, I was going to be expositing the book of Ecclesiastes, we had pretty much two responses to that. On the one side, they said, "Oh, that book's kind of, you know, it just, I can't figure it out." And then there were others like, "Wow, that's my favorite book." I'm like, "Really?" And I was wondering why. You know, but there's been tremendous unpacking and discovery from this book. Notice that his conclusion is not all is vanity. That's not his conclusion, is it? He has spoken much truthfully about reality under the sun. But in all of that, he keeps bringing us back to the reference of God. That if there is under the sun, then there is beyond the sun. And that is our reference. And he keeps bringing that in. And that's how he concludes the book. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. So as we start to unpack it now, in the conclusion of the whole matter, there's the what. What is the conclusion? And then why is that the conclusion of the whole matter? And there's 2 points under each. What is the conclusion? Point one, point two. Why is this the conclusion? Point one and point two. And here it is, the conclusion. At the end of the day, this is how you make sense of the journey. Fear God. Now, what that begins with is an acknowledgement of God. We must know God in the way He's made Himself known to us. Fear God begins with acknowledging God, as opposed to the conventional ideas of the day in the autonomous self. Autonomous means I rule myself. I am my own law. I govern my own life. It is my life. I will do with it what I want. And I have to figure out what reality and what truth is. And here's the end of the matter. If you are in search of what is the meaning of life and what reality is all about and what truth is, and you begin with yourself, then your conclusion will be all is vanity. But if you want to know reality and truth, you must begin where? With God. Why? Because it's His universe. And He created you. You had nothing to do with your existence. Did you know that? And you can't even keep yourself alive. This is His universe, and it's operating according to His purpose, and you were brought into it. It's His universe. Fear God as opposed to the autonomous self. If you try to discover God with yourself as a reference point, you will end up worshiping a God created in your image. A lot of people are there. And it's miserable. And they end up abandoning that God because He doesn't work. Charles Taylor, who is a well-known and broadly studied Canadian philosopher, he says the character of our day is what he calls hyper-individuality. It's true. And this is how he describes it. And he says this is not a good thing. He's not describing it as a good thing. This is hyper individuality. And it is this: it is important to find and live one's own way as against surrendering to conformity with a model imposed on us from outside by society or the previous generation or religious or political authority. It's in his book, A Secular Age. That's what hyper-individuality is. That's what we're living today, isn't it? And it's so easy for us to slip right into that rut when we worship a God of our own image. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we are to make sense of the journey and to live a good life, it begins with a right understanding of God as He has made Himself known. I cannot stress that enough, folks. We must know God in the way He has made Himself known to us, lest you worship the God of your imagination. Let me offer you this morning a definition of what it means to fear God. And I do so with the hope that it is a practical definition so that it brings the right pictures to mind and leads us to the right action. Here's a definition of fear God. It's recognizing the perfections of God. Okay, so it begins with knowing God according to His self-disclosure. Recognize the perfections of God. What are the perfections of God? How about His perfect holiness? That's almost a redundancy. His perfect holiness, His perfect power. There is nothing that can withstand Him. Or His perfect justice. Or His perfect goodness. How about His perfect love? Do we understand God according to His perfections that He has made known to us? The fear of the Lord is recognizing the perfections of God and my accountability to Him. Do you know why? Because His perfect holiness, His perfect power, justice, goodness, love, all of those things are what I am not. And it's His universe. And He, by His sovereign decree, brought me into it. It's His universe. It's His purpose. This is what it means to fear God. Recognizing the perfections of God and my accountability to Him. Let me offer you a second definition that's just maybe a little more concise and a little more practical. And it is this: living for the opinion of one. That's what it means to fear God. Do you know how liberating that is? When you live for the opinion of the one, then you are not oppressed by the opinions of the many. There is tremendous freedom in that. And that's what God wants for us. That is what it means to fear God. This is the conclusion. If you want to make sense of the journey and live a good life, it begins with the fear of God. Fear God. Point number two, keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. Now, again, I have to work on dismantling false images. And I've had to work on it in my life, you know, because we can very easily slide into Phariseeism. Because when we hear the phrase, keep His commandments, there's probably an image that comes to your mind. And I'm going to do my best to help you erase that image this morning. Because when it comes to the phrase, keep His commandments, first of all, for many of us, it might be a picture of the Decalogue, right? The Ten Commandments. Do you know that that was fulfilled for you in Christ? Hello, New Covenant. Christ fulfilled that for me. When you think of keeping the commandments of God, does an image come to your mind that includes this list of things you're supposed to do and a list of things that you're not supposed to do? Is that what comes to your mind? Stop it. The commandments of God are not just a moral code. the commandments of God, Psalm 119 and Psalm 19 both refer to the commandments of God as His testimonies. The commandments of God are His revelation of His perfect character and His good purpose for you. They are loving boundaries because God wants good for you and He doesn't want you to destroy yourself. And so the commandments of God are a disclosure, a revelation of His perfect and good character and His love for us, His loving boundaries, and His good purpose for us. That's the commandments of God. And so when it says keep His commandments, it means that we guard it, we cling to it. And the sense of clinging to God's self-disclosure means that His word, His self-disclosure of His perfect character and His good purpose for us, that is that which informs your desires and attitudes. That's what it means to keep His commandments. And His commandments, again, as I said, are called His testimonies. What He says of Himself, who He is, what He's like, and what He is about. Do you recognize the beauty of the commandments of God and their goodness for us? There is a psalm written about that, and we've put it into a song also, and it's from Psalm 19. Look at this. This is God's self-disclosure. It is perfect, reviving the soul. It is sure, making wise the simple. It is right, rejoicing the heart. It is pure, enlightening the eyes. And it is clean, enduring forever. It is true and righteous altogether. And it is more to be desired than gold and is sweeter than honey. Do you know the Word of God that way?
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the One who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.